This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We tape in the offices of Raider, a hands-on IT service provider that integrates all of your needs for advanced technical support, effective communication options, and cybersecurity. Raider's motto is, you just want it to work. We understand. Please visit RaiderSolutions.com for more information. I'd like to thank Iberia Bank, our premier sponsor. They support our community in so many ways, and their dynamic team is committed to serving the banking needs of clients in this region and throughout the southeastern United States. Iberia Bank offers the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. Please visit iberiabank.com for more information. The generosity of Lafayette General Health also makes this podcast possible, and we thank them for being a premier sponsor. As Acadiana's largest nonprofit regional health system, Lafayette General Health is committed to restoring, maintaining, and improving health in the communities it serves. For more information, visit LafayetteGeneral.com. Stephen Picou, Executive Director of the Lafayette Regional Airport, is our guest today. A native of Cutoff in Lafourche Parish, Picou graduated from Louisiana Tech University with a bachelor's degree in professional aviation and obtained his commercial multi-engine instrument pilot's license at Tech the same year. Stephen has worked at other airports around the country in New Orleans, Albuquerque, and Amarillo. His experience includes remodeling and building new terminals. We're here to discuss the ongoing progress of Lafayette's new terminal, as well as the impact the COVID-19 virus is having on air travel numbers at our airport. Stephen Picou, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thank you. Thank you, Jan, for having me.
Yes, I've been so curious about the ongoing progress of the construction at the airport, and I know that when you were hired a few years ago, that was one of the things that brought you to Lafayette. We were planning the new construction. So you want to give a little bit more background first before we start about your career and some of the things you've done before you ended up in Lafayette?
Sure. As you indicated, I started off at New Orleans International in airport operations. And from there, I moved around at New Orleans into the noise office, which many people don't understand that there's a noise office in an airport because people are impacted by aircraft noise. And so that included what's called the residential sound insulation program. Well, we actually went into the neighborhood, into the homes of private individually homes, privately owned homes, and did sound attenuating quality. So that meant putting heavier duty windows, removing air conditioning window units out, and putting central air. So learned how to work with people. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in their home. You're in a construction site in their home, and they're not displaced. They're in there with you. So you learn how to work around just those individuals and respecting their property.
Right.
From there, went on to Albuquerque International and ran the noise program there, actually established their noise program. We installed several monitors, noise monitors, around the city of Albuquerque. From that point, I went into the environmental side, ran all the environmental systems for Albuquerque, which meant noise, air quality, stormwater, various things. Then was transferred into the planning and development side of the airport and started building things. I remember my first project, it was a restroom on the lower level at the Albuquerque International Sunport. And so had that project, was a great success. And went in to build a fuel farm. Went from about 100,000 gallons of fuel on the airport's property to 1.1 million gallons of fuel on airport property. So we were able to, that was successful. I did an expansion because during that time that was 9/11. So back in the day, everybody was having long lines. And so we did a terminal expansion project there. From there, I moved to Amarillo International as the deputy director, the number two position at the airport, and built a terminal there as well. It was an additional terminal. It was an addition to an existing terminal. Mm-hmm. So that has some uniqueness to it as well. because you're building onto an old building that has old technology, old building methods, and so making those two compatible has some challenges in it.
Right.
And now I'm in Lafayette and building a brand new terminal, which is very nice. You don't have any connectivity to the old terminal, and so it's building out of the ground, out of the field, and not having to make those compatibility issues.
Right.
So that's been very nice.
Let's remind people, too, that construction is ongoing, and this is approximately, I guess, is it a two-year construction project for the
It started in 2018, and we're slated to be finished in September of 2021, so a little over 2 years.
Right.
And the project is on time and on budget.
That's great. Now, let's remind people also how this has been funded. This was a really unique way of funding a new infrastructure project for our community. So if you can bring us back to that point in time.
Sure. In early 2015, the taxpayers of Lafayette Parish voted to have a 1 cent sales tax placed on them, a temporary tax for 8 months. That 8 month sales tax created about $33.5 million. Which was dedicated strictly to the terminal project, which is unique, as you indicated earlier. We are a poster child for the FAA of how to do things.
Really?
Many times when we go meet with the FAA, they utilize Lafayette as an opportunity for other airports to raise money in their locales to have projects and have earmarked projects and monies dedicated out of a tax base and building and able to come to the FAA with money in their pockets and not empty pockets. And it goes a long way when you walk into a building, into any type of meeting with various officials, and you say, I'm here, I need your assistance. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, what can you bring to the table? And you say, oh, I have $33.5 million coming to the table. And that really catches them by surprise.
Right.
And it builds your case when you're asking for their assistance. So the airport project, the terminal project, is being funded by 13 sources. I don't think I can name all 13 sources for you right now. Mm-hmm. But one is the FAA, the state LADOTD Aviation, DOTD, FPNC, Facility Planning and Control of Louisiana. Let's see. The EDA grants, there are a couple of there's one Brownsville grant, which is an environmental grant that we were able to secure, and then monies from the tax base, and then monies from our own savings that's been done over the years at Lafayette.
That's incredible. And, you know, Lafayette is very conservative in the way the tax was enacted. It just was collected for, 8 months and did great, and then everybody followed their promises and shut down the temporary 1 cent sales tax. So it came and went and raised, like you said, over 30-something million dollars. So,
right.
Right.
That builds credibility to the airport and for the Lafayette Airport Commission as well. So you started the tax, as we said we were going to, and we ended the tax. Mm-hmm. And now you have a building that's going up, which the public can monitor through our website.
Right, right. Well, you know, I was really curious before we scheduled the podcast. I did a little research, and it looks like last year, the new terminal is really needed. Last year, there were more than 530,000 people flying in and out of Lafayette, which was a record year, if I understand it right. And it just seems like maybe a month or two ago, most of your complaints were dealing about, you know, the security check-in. People were concerned about the time it took because there's a lot of people flying in and out. And that's changed quickly, and we'll get to that with the COVID-19 virus and the impact it's had on the airport. But would you talk about what's been going on at the airport? I mean, that's a lot of people flying in and out of our region.
Right. And in 2019, as you indicated, 530,000 plus passengers did go through the Lafayette Regional Airport. And with that is there are delays and times. We don't control the TSA, but we worked with our TSA partners, and we were able to secure some funding, our internal funding, and we have revamped the current terminal for two lanes, to have two TSA checkpoints or two TSA lanes in the checkpoint so that people can process through faster. That was all scheduled to go online until, again, as you mentioned, the COVID-19 came on. And so that has ceased all travel for TSA employees. So we're not able to do that until travel is reinstated. But we spent some money out of the airport's funds to make the passenger have a better experience while they were coming through Lafayette, because we were receiving several complaints. And if we had an Achilles heel, that was our Achilles heel, is that the checkpoint was overpowered basically in the morning, because there were over 300 passengers going through that checkpoint and the system just couldn't handle it. Unfortunately, COVID-19 has come around and we haven't been able to test that system to see if we've really made a great impact on that. Hopefully in the summer we'll see that the lines are much less than they were previously, and our passengers will, I'm sure, provide us feedback on what they think of that new line.
Smoother sailing or flying, I guess we could say. Can you talk about how the airport operates? I was thinking, as we talked about the TSA check-in, y'all probably get, I'm talking about the Lafayette Regional Airport, you're probably taking the heat for a lot of things that aren't really your direct, that you don't have direct control over. I think people probably blame the airport because we don't understand. I know I never have. Who's in charge of what? What are the airlines in charge of? What is TSA in charge of? What can you do as director? So if you could talk about that, because I know that's something that most of us, we just don't know how it works. We just show up and want it to be a good experience.
Sure. And the thing that I've always indicated is that personally, I've never been to Las Vegas, Nevada, but I've been through that airport. And so a lot of people ask, well, have you been to Las Vegas? No, but I've been through the airport. Mm-hmm. And so we are the gateway to the community. And a lot of people want to have a positive experience. Since 9/11, flying isn't as fun as it used to be because you do have the TSA and you have to go through a security line and you have to take all your things out, your personal belongings, and have someone go through your bags. And so it's a different mindset than it used to be. But some of the responsibilities, TSA is responsible for the safe and secure screening of passengers getting on an air carrier or a United, American, Delta Airlines flight. The airline is responsible for selling you a seat, not the airport. We don't have anything to do that with. We don't have anything to do with that or with the TSA. We provide a safe, efficient area for both the TSA, the FAA, and the airlines to operate. Mm-hmm. That is our direction by FAA protocols, is that we provide safe operation for aircraft, safe area for aircraft operations. So the way I said this many times in other conversation is, I'm not elected by any means, but I am the mayor of the airport, and then I have a commission that I work with who would be equal to the council, be the parish council or the city council, and that's kind of how we work. So, you know, the mayor's not responsible for, you know, everything at your house, but he's responsible for making sure that the roads are good in front of your house if you live in the city and if you live in the parish as the parish administrator as well. So that's kind of the correlation. It's a kind of a weak correlation, but it is a correlation, is that I'm the mayor of the city. We have our own police. We utilize the Sheriff's Department, Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Department. So we have our own police department that we work with. They're under contract. We have our own fire department. We have tenants throughout the facility that sit on this on the large acreage. We have airline tenants. We have fixed-based operator tenants. We have private hangars. We have, you know, various large companies that operate off of the airport as well that are based here in Lafayette. So that's kind of what the airport's responsibility is, to provide a safe and efficient environment for aircraft operations.
Right, right. I just wanted to let you clarify that, because it's, you know, most, it's like any business. We just don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And you've got a lot of people, you know, that I'm sure come to you that want to make this a good experience, and maintaining the runways, building this new terminal. There's so much going on without without looking into all the other things that can happen, you know, that are beyond your control. So I did want to let you explain that. So,
right.
So Stephen, I'd like to pause, if you don't mind, for 1 second. We have a new addition to our podcast, Discover Lafayette's Past. And this insight into our history is sponsored by Rally Marketing. They're a full-service digital marketing agency that can assist people with marketing automation, content development, search engine optimization, and strategy. They can show you how to use social media to turn into a moneymaker for your business. Our friends at Rally Marketing are there to help you navigate the maze of all the latest ways to market online effectively. For more information, please visit rallymarketing.com. And now the moment. Lafayette Municipal Airport was dedicated on November 29, 1930, and Eastern Airlines began the first commercial air service from the airport in 1948. Its size has increased over the years from 848.5 acres in 1953 to approximately 1,116 acres at present. From its humble beginning as a wooden hangar, Lafayette Regional Airport has grown into a state-of-the-art facility, providing top-notch service to area travelers and businesses. And of course, as we've been talking about, they're expected to complete construction of the new 120,000-square-foot terminal in late 2021. And Stephen, back to our podcast discussion, you're working locally with the Lemoyne Company, is that right? Your contractor?
That's correct.
And who is the partner with Lemoyne for the airport terminal?
It's Lemoyne Manhattan.
Okay.
It's a joint venture.
A joint venture. Okay. I know that Lemoyne has been involved in so many large projects, including Tiger Stadium and just Lafayette General. There's so many projects they've done. So I know it's good to work with local contractors. So,
yes, it is.
Yeah. So let's talk about how do you make money? And let's just go ahead and say, I know right now you've got flights in and out of the airport, but I'm sure your numbers have changed drastically. So I was curious, you know, on a good day, how does an airport make money? And then we can talk about what's going on right now.
Right. So on a good day, most of our monies come from the airline activities and then from our general aviation partners. And so our general aviation is the smaller aircraft, not the air carriers, not the ones carrying passengers for to get from here to Atlanta to Dallas or Houston. So a lot of our money comes from those two sources. However, it's incumbent upon the director of an airport to diversify our revenue income. And so we utilize our concessionaire, the individual that sells various food, drink, and sundry gifts, news and gift items in the terminal, as well as our parking, and then our various large tenants that we have that are located on the airfield. So we look for opportunities for additional revenue or to diversify our revenue due to the fact that the airline industry is kind of hit and miss sometimes, mm-hmm. and particularly right now. And so we need to have the ability to diversify that revenue in the event, say, an airline says it goes out of business, declares bankruptcy or something like that, that we have ability. It'll hurt, but it won't hurt as much because we're not relying as heavily on an airline to pay those bills. One of the new items that we're going to have starting May 1st is what we call the quick turnaround, a QTA. And the airport will own the QTA, and it is where the rental car companies will park their vehicles, service their vehicles, light service, fuel them, clean them, and then bring them back to the terminal for passengers to pick up and utilize. So they have clean cars. Mm-hmm. The airport will own that. We will charge rent to the rental car companies, and we will also sell them fuel. And okay. we get a fuel flowage fee off of that. That's another way that we get fuel revenue is mm-hmm. fuel flowage fees at the airport.
Mm-hmm. And so the airlines, do they pay you per passenger? Are you reimbursed per passenger, or is it just landing fees for the whole aircraft?
Well,
how does it work?
They pay landing fees as well. Then they also pay a PFC, a passenger facility charge, and that's not necessarily an airline charge. That is a charge that the airport utilizes mm-hmm. to support some of our projects. So the terminal project has the PFC that we're currently paying or passengers are paying at Lafayette goes towards the new terminal project, another funding source for the airport.
Okay. And then, as you said, you have other things. I know there's real estate on the site that you make money from. So it really is. It really is like a small city. You're right.
It really is. I have tenants. I have lease agreements and contracts with them. I have people that are, you know, it's just, it is a small city. And I mean, I have fire department and it's contract. And then I have contract law enforcement as well. So I have a police department. So we are going to respond to calls for service. Alarms this morning, I watched out my window. A deputy actually went to for a call for service for a duress alarm. Luckily, it was nothing, but, you know, we do respond to various alarms that are outside of flying.
Right, right. Well, I looked on your website this morning, and I encourage people to go. Can you tell me that website? I probably need to get on the internet. And
it's www.lftairport.com.
And that's where people can see the flight statuses, and they can look at the progress of the new terminal. There's so many things to look at. And I was looking at the flights coming in and out, and you still have flights to Dallas and Houston, and it looks like some are going on and later ones in the day were canceled. But what is going on like today? Like, what's a typical day since we've had the stay-at-home order? What's happened at the airport?
Well, flying has really decreased. Our load factors are are much lower than where they should be. Our processing of passengers, and I say are, and that's not because I'm not the TSA, but I collectively as a body at the airport, we are processing less and less passengers each and every day. It's really impacted the airport's ability. It's really impacted the airport in the way of, you know, less flights, less people parking, less people buying anything in the terminal building. But we're taking our precautions. We are considered essential staff because we're part of the transportation industry. Mm-hmm. We are continuing to work. Our offices are closed to the public at this time. However, if you need to come and visit with us, we will. It's by appointment, and you can make an appointment, and you can get a hold of me via our webpage. But yes, it's really been different. This is totally different than from any experience I've had. And I was in the industry for 9/11. I was in the industry for Y2K. And this one really has taken kind of the wind out of the sails for airports across the country and for airlines. But what we're doing on our side is the building is being cleaned on a routine basis. We're wiping down high-touch places like elevators, buttons, handrails, using all the latest antiviral, antibacterial, antimicrobial type cleaning products. And so while we have a slowdown, we're actually doing some heavier cleaning in certain areas that we do not necessarily get into due to the fact of traffic. But so we're taking the opportunity when, as I like to say many times, is that life's giving us lemons, and so we're making lemonade.
So people still just come to the airport like they always would. They just check in. It's the same process.
Yep. No change in that process. We recommend everyone contact their airline to see or go to our website, because that information is being fed to us by the airline. We would just recommend them contact their airlines to ensure that the flight is still on and scheduled.
Any estimate of how many people are on a flight, you know, like, do you see that information in your position?
How many people are on a flight?
Like on a flight, like a typical flight today, let's say.
Well, that all depends on the size of the aircraft. But I can tell you on Sunday that just passed, we processed 22 passengers, which is very, very, very low whole day.
Wow.
And then Tuesday, a week ago from today, we processed 88 passengers. Normally, we process over 300 passengers in the morning from the hours of 5:30 to about 6-7 o'clock.
Right, right.
So we normally get about 500 to 650 passengers a day, and now we're down in 88 on a good day. But I'm optimistic that it will come back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you've got to have so much per passenger, I'm sure, to make your budget projections. And you had told me about that you operate on a balanced budget, and you've got to make things work.
Right. We do. We operate on a balanced budget. The airport is financially in good shape at this point. We don't want too many more days or too many more months of this type of hindrance on our budget, but we're okay. We're doing well.
Right.
And every year we do start off with a balanced budget. Mm-hmm. We have to, by law, we have to provide balanced budgets.
What is in the CARES Act that Congress passed, Stephen, for the airline industry? Do you know much about any assistance that the federal government might be giving airports such as the Lafayette Regional Airport?
Sure. The CARES Act was passed by Congress, and it is for the coronavirus or COVID-19 and for the impacts that COVID-19 has had. Congress and the president signed into law that there was $10 billion earmarked for airports. The amount of money that an airport's going to receive is based on employments and your debt ratio. And employments are number of passengers. So if you're a larger airport like New Orleans, you're going to get more money than, say, Lafayette. At this point right now, it looks like that the airport in Lafayette will be receiving anywhere from $2.5 to $3 million from the CARES Act. That money will have to go through the normal protocols of FAA. And it can be used a little, not as stringent as the normal protocols, but still to some of the checks and balances. But it can be used to for payroll, our debt services, and certain projects.
So that goes just for operating. I mean, it can be used to take the place of what you would have been making, just like we're doing with
right.
the paycheck
right.
protection. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So have you had any discussions with some of your peers around the country? I mean, is there a network where people are talking about what's going on? Or
sure. Yes. And there's different airports are approaching this quite differently than other airports. There are airports out there that have granted their tenants millions of dollars of concessions. In the state of Louisiana, we can't just do that due to the fact that the state constitution mm-hmm. says, or state law says, that we can't give
donate.
Things away.
Uh-huh.
So we have to be careful. We're working with our legal team to ensure that if there are any concessions made, that the concessions are legal and will stand up in court. But yes, there are airports that are giving concessions in the states. They're not in Louisiana. So we're trying, as a Louisiana association, we're trying to work together that we all are on one voice
uh-huh.
and saying the same thing to the various individuals that are coming to us and asking for us for any type of concession or abatement.
Right, right. It's so interesting. I don't even know if I've asked you the questions I should have been asking. I mean, what are most people asking you? Are these kind of questions or...
Most people are asking these types of questions. They want to know. A lot of people want to know when it's going to come back.
Uh-huh.
I don't have an answer for that. I wish I did.
Had an answer.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of calls to the airport is my flight still flying?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we go back to those responsibilities. It's the airline's responsibility to get the flight from point A to point B, not the airport's. But the information that's provided on our website comes directly from the airline. So if they change anything, then our website will reflect that as well. But we still always advise individuals to call their airline to get the latest in information on their flight or if they have any questions.
Right. Like I'm looking at your site right now, LFTAirport.com, LafayetteAirport.com, departures, and everything's right there,
mm-hmm.
easy to look at. But I know people they're nervous, but like my family, we're waiting. We want to make plans for this summer to take a vacation, and I'm sure we're in line with everybody else, just wanting to get back to normalcy. You know, it's just there's no easy answer for what's going to happen.
Right, so. And there's no easy answer at this point. Hopefully mm-hmm. that, as we've seen, that we have flattened the curve and that we will start getting back to a normal
right
routine that we were used to pre COVID-19.
I know. I'm looking forward to seeing the new airport terminal with new, how many gates will you have? Was it going to go from 3 to 5?
It'll go to 5 gates with the ability to go to 7 to expand if we need to go to 7.
And the parking, if you can describe that too, I probably should have asked you to describe that.
What will happen is we will increase our parking pile 90 parking spaces when we're fully complete, when the project is complete. The back to the gates, the gate that is closest to the current terminal will not be opened up right away due to the fact that we have to get the old terminal out of the way. Mm-hmm. So we have to get in the new terminal, then demolish the old terminal, and then that gate will be available. Also, if we were doing an expansion, it would be in the direction of the old terminal. So that terminal is going to be, has to be moved, and then there's parking for the commission and an employee parking that will be in the general location of the mm-hmm. current terminal. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of opportunities. So we'll increase the number of parking spaces by about 90, and then we'll be removing the economy lot, and it'll be long-term, short-term. And again, the building is being built with expansion in mind. If demand shows that we need to build a parking garage, then the building will be able to accept a parking garage, and the surface lot will be built with locations that are available to accept the parking garage, mm-hmm. so we can build on top of the surface lot.
Right, right. It's going to be exciting. So
it is. It's really exciting. It really is.
I know. We're lucky to have you here. I remember when we met, when I was working with Upper Lafayette, and you've done so much for our community, Steve. And I want to thank you for your dedication to your job and to what you do. And just a little side note, I know I mentioned at the beginning, you're a pilot. Are you still an active pilot? Do you fly often?
Not as much as I would like. I fly. I do a lot of hangar talking and talk about things that I wish I was doing. But no, I'm not flying at this time. I really would like to get back into the flying. Yeah. Like today, when you have beautiful weather like it is outside right now, it's great to be up flying and all. But no, I'm not currently an active flyer. But I still like airplanes. I still like talking about them. Still like walking around them. And
right.
And there's nothing like the smell of jet fuel.
Well, I hope you're able to get back up in the air soon, as all of us, that we can get back to a normal life. And I want to thank you, Stephen Piku, Lafayette Regional Airport Executive Director, for overseeing the expansion of our airport, for guiding our community, you know, through this crucial time. And maybe we can get you back on when things are back to normal and you can update us on what's going on. I think people want to be informed about how this is affecting our community. So I want to thank you for taking time today and for being patient. We're taping this by phone. I'm taping in my home study, and you've worked with me through some technical things. So thank you for being patient.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. And anytime, it is a great project, and I think the community will be very happy with the end product.
I think so too. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us. And I'd also like to thank, before we close out, a few people that helped make this podcast possible. Jason Sikora of Raider, he will be mixing this podcast tape. And I'd like to also thank Raider Solutions, Iberia Bank, and Lafayette General Health for their support. Their generous contributions enable our podcast to be produced and distributed, and we're grateful. We're also grateful for our premier partnership with Rally Marketing. Please subscribe to Discover Lafayette by going to the podcast app on your phone. You can also find all of our podcasts at discoverlafayette.net. Thank you for listening, and stay safe. This is Jane Swift.